Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We're in episode 86. My name is Jared. I got Denzel with me, and we got a special player that we will honor today for episode 86.
86. You got any idea where I could be going? I mean, it's getting kind of scarce. It's scarce territory. But it is a player who played when wearing number 80. The numbers in the 80s were cool for wide receivers. So we're still sticking with some wide receivers in the 80s. And I'm going with none other than Hines Ward, Pittsburgh Steeler, Super Bowl winner, you know, got it done. So in honor to the Pittsburgh Super Bowl champions, so we like to talk about champions, people who actually won.
Yeah.
So Hines Ward. Hines Ward, number 86, Pittsburgh Steelers. And they might be on the come up.
The Hines Ward, man. Yeah. That's dope. I forgot about old Hines, man. All right, that's cool, man.
Yeah. So I liked it. So I'm like, okay. Salute to the boy. We'll put your jersey up. We'll hang your jersey up. We'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I ain't mad at that. All right, man. Well, let's get into these cigars, man, this week, man. So this week, I'm going to be smoking a Cohiba, but I'll be smoking Weller by Cohiba. Won't waste my time showing it because it ain't going to show anyway, but
we can see it. Nice tube.
Yeah, nice little tube. We got the plastic on it. So I'm going to go ahead and start peeling this out. I think I'm going to go with just a regular old straight cut on it. Oh, yeah. Specs. Let me not jump past those. Toro shaped Nicaraguan Jalapa wrapper. We got the Dominican Republican origin. We got a binder that's Connecticut broadleaf, and we got Brazilian Nicaraguan fillers. So we got a little mixed bundle, but for the most part, we got a lot of Nicaraguan going on in this and usual DR stuff.
Okay. Do we have price point? Do we have a price point?
We did, but I no longer recall what that price point was at this point in time.
It's Cohiba. It's got to be 18 or higher. 18 or higher.
Probably 18. It's Cohiba. And it's a partnership with Weller Bourbon. So it's supposed to have been.
I like that.
I expect to get some of that barrel feel off of this cigar.
Yeah. So I'm glad you went there. So glad you went there. Because I had already made my pick today. So I had a pickup last week during my trip to Cigars International, San Antonio.
Right.
And got the Cohiba Makassar. So that's what I'm going with. So as soon as you popped up that Cohiba tube, I'm like, yeah, all right, we got a Cohiba episode of sorts on our hands. So we're going Cohiba on both sides. And after we did our cigar versus Placencia versus Cohiba, you asked a question. And you said, man, did we reach the peak of cigars? Is this it? Is Placencia the top of the mountain?
Top of the top. Yeah.
Have we reached the top of the mountain? Have we topped out? And we refuse to believe that we topped out. We refuse to believe it, even though we love Placencia and we give it all this praise and say, hey, that's the boy right now that we love. And it's undeniable to this point. It's undeniable to this point. But I'm liking to think that Cohiba has some more tricks up their sleeve. I don't think that was it. So that Makassar caught my eye and it's at a $45 price point.
Ooh, okay. I see.
$45 price point. So maybe in order to, they have to double the price of Placencia to match Placencia. So we're going to see. I'm going to be very disappointed if it don't come close. If I feel the same way I felt after the red dot matching up with that Placencia, might be a little disappointed, Cohiba.
Well, look, I'm not going to say that it won't come close. Because the red dot, you know, it did good. The red dot and the blue dots did good. They did well.
They did great. Yeah, they did great.
They got their behind whooped, but it still was a good cigar. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have beat up most cigars on that night. Like,
Yeah. it would have bested most cigars. But
just overmatched that particular day.
It just wasn't a matchup. They weren't ready.
So at the $45 price point, I expect this one to be more comparable. Now, will it actually be better? I don't know, but it should be more. Like you say, maybe they're not able to produce at that price point that amount of quality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so not at 2025
quality. Yeah, they got to push it on up another 20.
Maybe we got to go a little higher. Maybe we got to go a little higher. So to give
you the specs on that though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So to give you the specs, wrapper is Connecticut, origin Dominican Republic, binder Connecticut broadleaf, filler Dominican, Mexican, and Nicaraguan. So we got a bundle of things going on. So they put the works in. This is a piece, when you got a piece, you do the works or Supreme or something like that. You're throwing a bunch of different ingredients at it. So hopefully the ingredients mesh, they mix well, they marry well, and it gives that, you know, they did the necessary things that to bring these different flavors in together and ingredients to make it a top-notch cigar, to make it that $45 price point. We gonna see.
Yeah. You brought the cedar stick out. You ain't taking no chances with it.
I'm not taking no chances. So I did say I had my Bic. So I do have a Bic, y'all. Don't judge me. But that fire from the Bic going straight to the cedar stick. So
I put this right here in my mouth for a moment to speak. I took it off and immediately was left with that almost bourbon taste right there on my mouth. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So is it similar to that?
Good aroma.
Is it similar to that Maker's Mark? I know you had that Maker's Mark. The one that come to that Maker's Mark barrel.
It's been years though, man. I don't even remember at this point, man. It's been that long since I had a Maker's Mark. We were on Maker's Mark really hard about 10 years ago. And yeah, I ain't had it since that era, so. I'll tell you what it put me in the mind of. It put me in the mind of how them Fat Bottom Bettys, like you put it in your mouth and you get a taste on your lips. It was that type of thing, but it was bourbon instead of the sweetness. Okay.
All right, so while we're getting our cigars lit, I did tell you I have an ambush of sorts for you. So I'm going to do a little ambush. So yesterday I was at work, and I was posed a question. And then I had a conversation with my older brother and posed him the same question I was posed, because I had to think quick on my feet. They asked me if I can make a top five, man, I might have to go straight big to cigar.
Oh, Lord. Nice aroma off this right off the bat, though. I will say that while you get your cigar figured out. Very, very nice aroma.
Okay, wait. Might not have to. That's good. Yeah, that aroma is important to set the ambiance. It's an ambiance setter. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So I was posed a question. They said, hey, give me a team, a starting five, player from any era. Who you think will go undefeated, 81-0? And they gave me a little bit of a time limit. They say, nah, go on, rattle them off as quick as you can. And without hesitation, well, a little bit of hesitation, because I had some players of mine that I wanted to kind of add, but I'm like, no, I'm going to stick with this because I got to put together a team. And just not just great players throughout a career or a Hall of Fame career, but in their prime, at their best, who are you taking to play together and go 81-0? And this is what I gave them. I said at my five, I'm going to give you Shaquille O'Neal. I wanted to do Hakeem, but I had to think about my team. So I gave him Shaq. Orlando Shaq. Early Shaq. Not Lakers Shaq.
Yeah.
Orlando Shaq. Yeah. Then I said at my four, give me KG.
Yeah.
Minnesota Timberwolves KG.
Yeah.
Then I said at my three, I want Grant Hill. Prime Grant Hill. It's not a Detroit bias.
No. I'm not even laughing at that. I'm literally laughing because you've gone through my list that I had in my head. So I'm going to switch my list off this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, don't switch your list.
Unless we got the first three names right off the bat. I got the same first three. I can't do this with you
right now.
We bar for bar right now. And I had the same thought process. Akeem, Shaq's more dominant. I took him out and I put him in. I like Akeem better. Shaq's more dominant. So I'll take Akeem now because you took Shaq. Go ahead.
And then, so at my two, I said I'm going to put T-Mac. I'm going to have T-Mac run my two.
Yeah.
And I said at one, at my point, and this might be yours too. I have no idea. I said, give me Penny Hardaway. Prime Penny Hardaway. So only Penny running my point.
Is mm-hmm. two. The two spot is the only spot we switched. I'd have had Prime Penny, bro. I'd have had Prime Penny is my point. You've made my exact team, except I wouldn't have went T-Mac. I probably went Jordan.
Okay. Jordan. And I was asking that. I was like, so no AI? No Jordan? No Kobe? No LeBron? I said, I'm building my team. And if I had to build my team, and I say, at this point, it was any era. Of any era, any style of play, who do I want to try to take me 81-0? I said, hey, give me Shaq. Give me KG, give me Grant, give me T-Mac, and give me Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway going to score. He's going to facilitate. He's going to get it done. He's an X factor because you can't just sag off him. You got to take him as a threat, even running the point. McGrady's going to get you long distance game. You're going to be a slasher. He's going to back you down. All of that at the two. At the three, Grant Hill, stay dangerous. You know what I'm talking about? KG's a dog down low. He's going to get blocks. He's going to get rebounds. He's going to clear the lane. And then Shaq's going to clear the lane. They're going to be dominant. Two dominant forces down low. They're going to clear the lane. And then with my guys, with Penny, Grant, and T-Mac, they're going to open that lane up. So I'm thinking, who's going to open the lane up for him? Who's going to be some enforcers down there who could score the ball, who could be a threat? And they're also going to open the lane up for those style of players that's going to take me 81-0. So I talked to my brother a little early, a little bit later that day. And he said, you know what? I like your team, but it's what I would change. I would put Charles Barkley at the four. He's going to be my power four. He said, you're going to take Shaq. You'll take Charles Barkley. You'll take Grant Hill, but he's also going to take Kobe and MJ. He's going to have Grant be a point forward. I said, ooh.
It's nice.
I like the way you think. But then he said, okay, so if our teams played each other, I said, well, what era are we playing in? Era matters. And so he said, we're going to say between 90 and 2000. They're playing in that style of play. Who's mm-hmm. winning? I said, my team hands down.
I don't know. He switched out KG for Barkley.
Barkley.
He had Grant.
Philly's Barkley.
Yeah, Philly Barkley. And then he got Grant at Grant Hill at the point forward as his one.
Mm-hmm.
And who was his two? His two and three is Kobe and MJ?
And MJ, yep.
I don't know, bro. He's going to be hard to beat, too. I like T-Mac matching up against Kobe as far as that, because T-Mac was a problem for Kobe. You know what I'm saying?
He was.
So I like if you got him, T-Mac guarding Kobe, but when you put, I don't know who you going to switch Penny over to. Penny going to have to guard MJ?
You're going to have to.
Or is he going to stay on Grant Hill?
I would have Penny guard MJ. And I think he can do it. Penny gave MJ a little bit of a problem. Granted, this was 45.
Grant probably could guard MJ. He's gonna get his numbers. He's gonna get his numbers. But Grant is.
I'd have Penny. Well, actually, you know, yeah, I'm gonna have T-Mac on Kobe, and I would have to switch Penny and Grant for MJ. Because hey, soon as MJ start reading you and he start giving Penny work, okay, Grant, go ahead. Soon as he start reading Grant, start giving Grant work, okay, Penny, come on. Hey,
yeah.
Get on MJ.
Interesting lineup, man. I mean, I didn't realize our basketball taste was that similar, though, that we were going to match up exactly, except for the two guard. I didn't think you were going to go with Grant Hill. That's why I laughed when you said Grant Hill. I was like, okay, I didn't think he was going to go Grant Hill at the three spot. But
yeah. And this is all going off of style of play. Not
what is it?
Not these are, all-time these are, career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Just at the peaks of their career. You know why these are good names, though? Is because they play both ends of the court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like, yeah, yeah.
Now, your team might be in a little bit of trouble with modern day ball, because the three ball is important, and you really probably mm-hmm. only got T-Mac in there as a 3-point shooter.
Yeah, he's gonna shoot the three. Yeah, you yeah.
know? He's yeah. only one. So I mean, that's your toughest spot. His team, everybody except for Shaq can do the three ball. You know what I'm saying? Grant, mm-hmm. yeah, a little shaky on the three ball too, though. You know what I'm saying? But like T-Mac, probably your only real dependable one. Penny could hit it too, you know, but he ain't like. It just won his game. He was a slasher and facilitator
yeah.
more so.
Yeah.
But, all right, I'll switch it up, man. I'll switch it up to do something different. So, off the top, I'm going to go, Dream for five. I'm going to put, I'm going to go KD, and I'm going to make him go four.
I thought you were going to say Tim Duncan or something.
I'm going to just do the total opposite. Tim Duncan, of course, I think he's the greatest power forward ever. You know what I'm saying? But like, nah, I'm going to do something different. To go with that three spot, I'm going to go with, let's go with some names that we ain't put out there yet.
KD about to get bullied. Just letting you know that.
Yeah, man, he's going to get bullied. You know what I'm saying? But we doing something different. Let's go skip the three. Let's go to the one. I'm going to go with I need some defense. you got me, man, because you took a lot of the players I probably would have went with. Let's go get it, man. I'm going to go Kevin Johnson
at the one. Yeah.
I'm going to go with him at the one. At the two, Let's go D-Wade at the two. Mm-hmm. And at the three.
Ooh.
At the three spot, we're gonna go who I want at the three.
D-Wade. First championship D-Wade.
Man, I might as well go Bron at the three, man. You know what I'm saying? Put him at the three.
Hey, all right, okay. That's only because you were forced, because I already drafted my players.
Yeah, man, but shoot, he's still one of the greatest ever. That's still a great choice. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, like, okay. KG, D-Wade, LeBron, Durant, and Hakeem?
I got Durant on KG. I got Hakeem on Shaq. I got Bron on Grant Hill. I got KJ on Penny. And I got Wade on...
If we playing 90s ball, y'all out of there. If we playing 90s ball, y'all out of there. If we playing 2010 and up, you got us. If we playing 2010 and up, you got us. What's the rules? What's the style of play? 2010 up? All right. You might win 3 out of 5.
Hey, I think we can hang around in the 90s a little bit, man. We can hang in the 90s a little bit.
I like the squad.
I got my playmaker. You know what I'm saying? I got a slasher, and D-Wade's a solid defender. You know what I'm saying? Bron ain't going to be ball dominant because I got him at the three spots. So he ain't going to be all that mm-hmm. point forward. I already got KJ to handle all those responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to need him to play big body down there. And KG is going to give KD some problems in the post. You know what I'm saying? But then we're going to take him out on the wing. You know what I'm saying?
On the wing, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's what I'm saying. If KD got to play 90s ball, it might be a little shaky because he got to get down there and bang with KG. But if we playing 2000s, yeah. Okay, KG got to go out and he got to go get Durant. That could be where the tie can turn right there. That's the tie.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do them how Dirk used to do them. You know what I'm saying? Dirk mm-hmm. was a little bit of a liability on defense, but at the same time, he was going to make you work on offense.
He was going to expose you. Mm-hmm. When he's on the offensive side. So I got you. I like it. All right, I'll put you in a hot seat. And I took a lot of your players, so I get it. I just want to see where your basketball mind was.
Between you and your brother, y'all took all the players I probably would have, you know, all my favorites.
Barkley,
you
know, and them,
Barkley. And, I could have went Tim Duncan. I think he's all-time great. But, you know, I'm just kind of thinking, like, all right, if I got to go in both eras. Depending on the style of era, you know. I want to have a little bit of versatility in the big spot if we go in 2010s. You know what I'm saying? Which Dream is the versatility, but, you know, let's just keep my backcourt, you know.
Okay. Hey, I like it. Made you think quick on your feet. I was forced to do it. It was a little uncomfortable for a second, but clicked in. I'm like, I got this. Don't worry about it.
I thought it was about to be easy work till you named yours. If you'd have just let me go first, it'd have been easy work. I'd have ran through mine like that. I'd have rifled them off.
Yeah, I should let you go first. I should have did that, let you go first. And then gave you the background of what I did. Yeah. But even then, you were still agile and you still got it done. So I appreciate that.
Hey, man.
Good work, my dog. Hey, so talking about errors, man. Sent you a video the other night, and you said it's been on your algo lately. Mm-hmm. So this man's coming out of, I think, Whataburger, yeah. So it had to be like Florida, Texas, somewhere in my realm of expertise.
Yeah.
Coming out of Whataburger. And he's dressed, he has these denim jeans on. Got a slight little crease in it. Cool. It's whatever. It's your thing. Got a polo, got some New Balances that coordinate. And I don't know how, I don't know the full context. Like, if he tried to approach these women or if these women just called him out, looking at his fit.
Well, from what I heard, the background is he was in the Whataburger and overheard them taking their shots. And carried on all the way outside. When he got outside, we see the culmination of everything where he's like, I ain't fresh. And they proceed to tell him how
he
let
him have it
at that point. They let him
just
have
let him
it.
Start letting them have it, right? So okay, so I didn't get that part. That makes it even more egregious, in my opinion. Like, my man, even not even looking for your attention or looking for your validation until he overhears. Now, okay, now I want clarification. I don't need validation, but I want some clarification.
Man, dang, y'all jumping on me. I ain't fresh. What you mean? Like, you clowning me? What's up? Like, yeah, bro.
And then also, to put it in a further context, is he's at Whataburger. He's not at the club. He's not at the mall. You know what I'm saying? He's not at a five-star restaurant. He's at Whataburger. He's picking up some burgers and some drinks and some fries with some spicy ketchup for him and whoever. You know what I mean? And has to deal with criticism on his dress, especially for just showing up to Whataburger with some New Balances, some nice jeans, and a nice polo shirt. You valid for me? That's valid.
Yeah.
Because, hey, ain't no telling how I'm going to show up to Whataburger.
Yeah.
Fitted on, T-shirt, might have a little on it, some sweats and some slides. That's how I'm showing up to Whataburger. So it's like, okay, my man stepped out, dressed his age, dressed his era, and was clean in his era. You know, he was an older gentleman. Probably had to be like 40 plus. I would age him at like 40 plus. So I would say he would come from that cloth, the early 2000s of, especially that was super fresh for his
range.
Super fresh for his era. Let alone fresh for going to Whataburger. That was super fresh for his era. You know what I'm saying? When we go to the club, remember we used to put on my club shirt.
Hey, man. You know, Don't just say his era. Our era. How many times we done went out looking like that minus the crease in the pants? You know what I'm saying? Which I done wore a crease before. You know, I was so much younger.
When we was younger. Yeah, we used to put the crease in the joint when we were younger. But by the time we were in college age, a little bit after, that was a uniform. We was going to put some work in that uniform.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We was ready to go get busy. So it's like, man, so what do you mean that's not fresh? And his confusion and his inflection, hold on, I ain't fresh? I ain't fresh? You mean to tell me I ain't fresh? So what are we expecting, especially for somebody when you see physically see somebody who's in a certain age bracket, they're from a certain era, and they have the understanding of, especially what's fresh for them, may not be fresh for us, a 20-year-old, 15-year-old now. There's going to be some shifts in era and how we approach fashion. But I can't look at somebody who comes from 70s, 80s cloth and see them get down on their freshness and be like, all right, my man dressed fresh. That's his age. Yeah. That's his era. That's fresh for him. It might not be something I put on, but he got it on. That's him. That's fresh. Yeah. I'm going to give a nod to that. Like my pops. My pops will put on something fresh, and it might not be something I'm going to wear.
Right.
But I'm going to look at my pops like, all right, then, all right, you got it on. I like
it. Put
you.
Together.
I like that. Yeah, you put together. Well put together. Well put together. It's like we lose a respect, man. We lose a respect for understanding what the eras are. And even though you ain't with that era, you might put on something different. You got to give a nod to that man. Like, especially you at Whataburger. You ain't out here trying to get attention. You're not seeking it or seeking validation. And then even when you pose the question, you're just seeking clarification.
Yeah. Hey, man, this is going to be a tough one for our age group because he was dressed like how we dressed once upon a time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like I say, it's tough for us because our eyes are going to see that and say he fresh. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, yeah. Doing his thing. We may have moved on from dressing like that, but he's still a neatly groomed person. He's well put together. You know what I'm saying?
He's like, clean.
Yeah, he's clean, man. And through a kid's eyes, I guess, you know, they see that and you look like you dressed from 20 years ago. And that's the only way they can see it, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we getting old eyes, man.
I wonder what the ages of these young ladies were. Because from the voices I heard, it didn't sound like they were 18, 19, 20. Might have been closer to 30-ish from just the way they sounded. From the way they sounded. You know, and I have no verification, I no clue of how old they are. But I would even like to say that some people, even who are closer to our era and our age, they have an unrealistic expectation of a man when he steps out, what he's supposed to look like. I think that the era of how fashion and these celebrities, I guess, the uptick on how they dress is like it's skewed. Like if you ain't got J's on, or if you ain't got something with some red bottoms on the bottom of it, you ain't doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? Or if it ain't that, if it ain't Balenciaga, or if it ain't a particular name brand, it ain't it. You know, I feel like even in like that 25 to 30, maybe 25 and under. Up to about that 30-year-old range, that they still have an unfair outlook on how a man is supposed to present himself. Like his fit got to be $1,000 every time out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Back in the day, you don't think so?
I don't know if that was it, man. I just think he looked like he was how we look at a guy who still dressed. You know how, like, when the OGs go out and they have on their little suspenders and their little plaid shirts with their little top hats and stuff and the little thin bow ties or thin ties and stuff, man?
Skinny ties.
Mm-hmm. With the skinny ties, I think that's how they looked at him, and that's what I saw was somebody dressed like that. But because we used to dress like that, we don't see that.
I don't see nothing wrong with what he got on.
We didn't see nothing wrong with it, but they looked at it and saw like an old man dressed, man. I think that's what it was, man. Like, think about it. Like, you ever seen them little jokes online where people play songs and they say, what I hear? And then they show like us jamming to some rap song. And then they say, what my kid hears? And it sounds like So like a doo-wop song to them. Yeah. Like that's I think that's what it was, bro. We see it as still what we saw it as, and they see it as old, man. Like when we were growing up in the 90s, stuff from the 60s and 70s seemed like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And now these kids in 2024, something from the 90s seemed just as far away as the song in the 60s sound to us.
It is.
And it is. And it is, bro. 30 years. And that's the thing.
When we were growing up, we come up in 90-2000, that was 60s and 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
1994 was 30 years ago.
Yeah. So he could have wore that outfit anywhere from the year 1998 all the way up until probably about 2012 and been solid with it. You know what I'm saying? But like now solid. We just reached a point where it's not that no more, man. And I think they see an old fashioned outfit when they see that. But we don't see it that way. It was clean. It does. I think that's what it was. I think we all reach a point where we stop chasing what's new and current, and we all get stuck in our age.
You know, and that's cool. You have to, because like there's nothing worse. I ain't saying nothing worse, but most people don't like it when they see somebody who's 50 and they dress like they 25. It's like, come on, man, grow up. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that same criticism that if you're 50 and you dress like you're 25, you got to grow up. But now we're seeing somebody who's dressing worse their age. Like that. Yeah, he dressed his age. He's dressing his age. He's dressing for the occasion, you know what I mean? Like, not doing anything flashy. But now we're criticizing it. And you know what? It kind of goes to the like what we talked about in the last episode. Like, we criticized in the 90s. Like, the criticism of old is so extreme now.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't before. Like, we wasn't criticizing somebody who dressed like they was from the 80s, you know? Of course, we don't pop out with the platform shoes on. You know, don't dress like disco.
People got to rock their curl, and we let them rock their curl. Like, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? They didn't let go of the texturizing. We let them have it. Like,
let them have it. That's his era. That's where he from. He from that.
Yeah.
Let them do that. And it's like, hey, we now they're criticizing so much of the past mm-hmm. instead of letting people just enjoy where they're at in life. And the progression of it, and that understanding, I don't know if it's because we understood that, hey, at some point, that is going to be us. We are going to age out, and what we do is not going to be it anymore. It's not going to be the cool thing anymore.
Yeah.
So we cool with it. Do your thing, because one day that's going to be me. Now, this generation, just like we talked about with basketball, and they're going to look at the superstars of today, and they're going to get down and clown how they're trying to clown us, and they're going to be so mm-hmm. hurt. So hurt because they can't take the criticism now because they're not gonna be able to take with the addition
because it's gonna come around. They ain't gonna take it later.
Yeah, they definitely gonna take it later.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what hurts me more is the disrespect of the generations before. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That brother didn't do nothing wrong. He was dressed how he was supposed to be dressed at his age. He'd have looked a lot worse trying to dress modern or like a 18-year-old and being his age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he aged out when he aged out, and that's fine. He was dressed appropriately for his age, and he looked well put together. He had an effort putting his outfit, and everything was, you know, he was respectable. But the bigger issue is the fact that we are attacking previous generations. And like you said, we never did that. We always honored the people before us. Like, don't get me wrong. Look, growing up, you always going to feel like, oh, my parents don't understand what the times are now. You're going to have that feeling at a point. But I always wanted to hear what the OGs had to say myself. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to listen to them. And if they were talking crazy, I wanted to listen to them and laugh. But if they were talking some good stuff, I wanted to listen to them.
Even if they were talking crazy, you didn't disrespect it.
I didn't disrespect it. I let them have it.
Talk on. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Talk.
Even listen to what we call our older generation. We call them OGs, man. They call us old heads now. Like, you know what I'm saying? The disrespect is
OGs
there.
OGs to old like, heads. They don't, it's just an old head. It's dismissive. Yeah.
It's dismissive, man. And like, they don't, they, this generation, I think, wants their respect so much that they're fighting back for it in a way. But respect is earned. You got to earn it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Get out there and put your work in. Because whether they realize it or not, you got the rock right now. You know what I'm saying? It's your generation. You got the ball. Like, our generation is, We ain't changing and pushing the culture forward no more. It ain't on us. We just kind of doing what we do, and we enjoying the ride, and we still trying to succeed in our own ways. But if you want to take it to hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Like your Kendricks, your Coles, your Drakes, they 80s babies. You know what I'm saying? They don't move the culture no more. They just respect it, and y'all got it now. So y'all got to do what y'all do with it and gain y'all respect. But y'all ain't got to bring us down to lift y'all self up along the way. Like, just do you right now. You ain't got to clown nobody. And if you can gain something from what the older generation is saying, gain it. Because the older generation, they insulted us too. They ain't like our pants hanging off us. They ain't like the gangster rap music. They ain't like none of that stuff. You know what I mean?
We took it and we did not fire back.
Nah, we took it on the chin. You know what I'm saying? And if you could gain something from it, you gain something from it. If not, you just, you know, let them get it out. And then you move on and keep doing your thing.
And then in a lot of cases, we look back 10 years later, 10 years removed. You're like, you know what? They're right. Let me pull my pants up a little bit. I'm tripping.
They were right, bro. That's the crazy part. You think they don't know better because they older and you think the world's changed, but they knew better. The world did change, but the game might have different jerseys on, but it's the same game. You know what I'm saying? New players, same game.
The technology might change,
but we still doing the same stuff in a new arena. You know what I'm saying? Same game, new arena.
Fact.
They know what they talking about, bro. And we know what we talking about, but y'all they ain't going to figure it out 10 years later.
They don't want to hear us. And then they're going to be left on an island. And it's like, hey, look, we try to be what the OGs were to us. Y'all didn't want it. You rejected it. Now you on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Mm.
So where you at?
But yeah, man.
Where you at with your Cohiba, man? This is kind of a Cohiba episode. So where you at?
It is, man. It is. It's very nice, bro. It's actually nice. It's that barrel is coming through, though. That barrel is coming through. It's some oakiness coming off of this. A little bit of a bourbon bite to it almost. It's some earthiness to it. Very good aroma. And a lot of that aroma is the oak. And I'm really enjoying that oakness, that oak, you know. Like I say, some earthiness. I picked up on... I don't know, man. It's very smooth. Very medium to full body, creamy smoke. You know what I'm saying? It's just been enjoyable. I kind of been smoking it and not really processing everything that I've been taking in, but earthiness, a little bourbon and a lot of oak is what I'll say for now. You know what I'm saying? Nice. Great aroma, great smoke, great taste of smoke, man. Good cigar.
Nice. Okay. And now what I'll say about my, Makassar, hopefully I'm saying that right. It feels very complex at this point. Very complex. Mm-hmm. So, like, a cigar that has early complexity is confusing if you don't know how to receive it. And thankfully, I'm a seasoned smoker at this point that I'm receiving it well. Like, just trying to take it all in. Whatever, like, the flavors are kind of flipping, but the main undertone is this smokiness. I did not expect that from Cohiba. I've never experienced a Cohiba that's smoky. You know, they give you that.
Likewise, that mesquite, it's a smokiness here.
A mesquite flavor. Okay. And that's why I'm kind of getting off of this Cohiba. I'm kind of taking a back by it, but open to it. Like, okay, Cohiba, you give me something I'm not expecting. Let's see where this goes. So we're early. We're early. We still got a ways to go. We still got some time left in this episode and a whole lot of smoke left. So, not my favorite, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued right now.
This is putting me in the mind of what I expected from that cigar that you said that I gifted you. You said it had that, how did you describe it? It was oaky and Man of War. This is putting me in the mind of what I would have imagined that Man of War would have been. You know what I mean?
That's kind of what this is, too. That's kind of what this is, too. Yeah. So, hey, let's go, Cohiba. Doing something new. You're flipping it on us a little bit. But,
yeah, this is some new notes and tones. Just a new feel that I'm not really, I don't get from a lot of sticks. But I, that's why I'm enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that they're doing good with it may improve their rating. You know what I'm saying? Just for that reason, it's... just different, and they doing a good job with it. You know, I appreciate that.
Hey, so check this out, man. Mm-hmm. We've had some time. We've had some time, and we've done a lot of investing, a lot of searching, a lot of investing throughout the years. More so a lot recent. Well, I don't know about recent, but recent history, we got heavy into investing. You know, I started my investing. I started my investing journey back in 2015-ish. Right, and first asset I ever got to was Tesla and stuff like that. Got into whole Tesla things. And then crypto became a thing. 2016, 2017, I got into Bitcoin pretty early. Like my price average is about 5,000. Kind of put it in perspective. Bitcoin's been running between 65,000 to 70,000 as of late, over this last month. It's been moving.
Take a sip of wine. As you say, my price average is about 5 G's in Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? Let me hit this. You understand me?
So, I mean, I wish I would have got a whole lot more back in the day. But I took that leap of faith and that jump into the crypto thing around 2016, 2017, around that change, that end of the year into the new year, and started accumulating back then. A little dip in 2016, and then you know what I'm saying? Let me cash a little heavier in 2017. And haven't really looked back ever since, right? Kind of taking a few steps back as we know it's volatile. Like it's up and down. It does crazy things. I saw a big spike in 2017, came back down. 2020, you know, we went back up. By 2021, we came, and then we crashed again for a good 3-4 years almost.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Very long bear market.
Woo! And that was a sweat fest, shaky moments. Yeah. And man, I would tell you, I made some mistakes, and I wish I would have cashed out, secured some profits when I should have. That's been my moniker, securing profits. And I didn't secure profits like I should have, at the rate that I should have. I secured some, put some in the tub. And did okay with a
few. Felt like that bull market was going to last forever, didn't it?
Yeah, we're like, we're going to keep going up. Like, hey, let's see what's going on.
Like it.
And we want to hold on. And then the YouTube guys, hey, Diamond Hand, hold on. Hey, don't sell. Meanwhile, they probably sold a long time ago. and I sipped the Kool-Aid or sipped the wine and was 10 toes down. Hey, nah, I'm Diamond Handed. And took some L's and still holding some L's right now, hoping to recover a lot of these. But right now, we're seeing the uptick, man. We're seeing the crypto uptick. And it's like, okay, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, didn't know where this was going to go. And understanding the ebb and flow. And with our uptick right now, and we don't know where it's going to go. But it's like, okay, with the mistakes that was made back in the day, for myself, you can speak for yourself. And it's like, hey, is it time to bury the seed even deeper in the ground? Or is it time to run? What is going on with this whole world of investing? Like, do you say, okay, I'm gonna dive deeper into it, or do I run? I'm at a point. This is an intervention for me of sort to say, what do I do? Because I'm at a crossroad.
Yeah. Well, let's start this segment with, this is not financial advice, what we will talk about moving forward. This is not
financial advice.
This is not financial advice whatsoever, man. You do what you want with your money, and best of luck with you. I hope you get rich, you know, but I would say, I think the past 3 years was the time to be getting rich. You know what I'm saying? Truthfully, you know, you had to been bold, or when you didn't see any light in sight, you should have been getting rich during that time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because it's the uptick is now, and we probably will enter a bull market. You know what I'm saying? Where you can make your money and everybody going to start getting it back. But like you say, this time, if y'all were part of the people like us who listen to some of the advisors on YouTube and other places that you find these people that talk about investing, You know, a lot of people push the diamond hand theory.
Not gonna say no names.
Yeah, we won't say none, but yeah, don't diamond hand, man. Don't diamond hand unless you really long term with it. You know what I'm saying? There's only probably a few investments that you want to go that mentality with. You know what I mean? For the most part, secure your profits. Get in, get out. You know what I'm saying?
Flip. Get in, get
flip
out.
Flip is what yeah. I would say. But yeah, I think now's a good time, man. I think hopefully a lot of you all purchased everything that you wanted to purchase early on, you know, and you ready to start making those flips once you get to your number. At this point I think it's time to get rich, though, man. It's always time to get rich.
Yeah.
The game ain't going to die.
Being smart about it, like what I've learned, like it took some tough lessons to really learn and say, okay. Because, I mean, back, say about 4 years ago, man, everybody was looking like a genius. You make a call, you pick something, that's going to run. Wait about a month, showing up that thing run. It's like, you can't tell. I'm a genius with this. I'm a whiz with this, right?
Yeah, everybody looked like a genius at that time. It's easy to pick.
Easy picking. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, we got smacked. On a lot of plays. Speaking of myself personally, got smacked.
And I'm still holding a lot of red in my portfolio. You know what I'm saying? Even with the upticks.
So much red. Yeah. And most of my red right now is stocks. So I'm still waiting to see if stocks ever come back. Like, man, can y'all come back alive? And I'll still buy every now and then. Like, what I'm holding is what I'm holding. So I haven't bought stocks as much. And what I'm holding, it's like, okay, I'll get my averages down, because you look at a lot of my averages, they're like 10 times cheaper than what it was before. If I bought something at $20, that thing is $2 now.
Yeah. It's like, man, like a long ways away down. To average out with that, right? Stocks is ugly.
Ugly. But crypto's been moving. Crypto has been doing some damage right now. And I'll tell you, like the last 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, especially when that spike, I was like, give me that. I'm green. Give me that. I'm green. Give me that. I'm green on that. Okay, give me that. I just started pulling them tabs down. Give me those. Let me cash them in. And I've been holding. And then slowly reinvesting again. So I'm on the mindset of, hey, let's get rich. Like, so I'm not running as much as I think I should. I've run a little bit, right? Because I said I've taken those profits. I saw some green. I don't care if it was like a dollar green on some of my plays. I'm a dollar. Give me that.
Time to go, huh?
Give me that. And I'm going to sit back on this extra dollar that I gained off that investment. I've just been sitting there for 3 years. And we're going to think about how we're going to reinvest this. Or maybe I'm just going to pull this and put it to good use. But, man, it's not really time to get rich or time to run, but just time to be smart. Just the time to get smart. And that's what I'm trying to take the moment as is, okay, how can I be more strategic? How can I be smarter about how I move these assets around? And when I tell you there's a lot of assets that's been planted. It's a lot of assets that's been planted. So it's like, okay, let me try to be smarter about how I move. And it's about learning these lessons through these ebbs and flows and the bull markets and bear markets. So, hey, I'm nervous though.
What do you believe it's all due to?
A shift in tide.
As far as the crypto market.
A shift in tide. Honestly, a lot of AI. As things are kind of getting more AI based, more virtual based, and just tying the crypto market and the idea of cryptocurrency to this whole digital world, right?
Yeah.
So the world is becoming more digital. Everything's becoming AI based. So it's like almost inevitable that crypto has to have some tie in it in this whole AI world. So a lot of the things I've been looking at is, okay, what is the benefit of everything that artificial intelligence is doing digitally, and then how are digital currencies going to play a part in it? What's the correlation? And trying to draw that straight line correlation on what with this crypto. So that's what I'm basing it on. So some of these things I'm cashing out and I'm never getting back into. And then some of these things I'm looking at saying, okay, what is this digital world? Then these digital assets, how are they correlating to everything that's happening on the AI realm? because AI is becoming like it's unequivocally becoming the thing in life.
Yeah, yeah, AI is bad. AI is a bad mofo. I'll just say it like
it's
that.
It's no stopping it.
No, it ain't. You think these are tech plays? These cryptos that are really starting to blow up? Are these tech cryptos like that?
The ones I'm paying attention to are anything that has to deal with how it correlates to technology, artificial intelligence, AI, all of those things.
Yeah,
because that's going to be the mainstay. And we thought that we had time with artificial intelligence. We thought we had time with AI. We thought that AI was going to be a thing maybe 20 more years from now. Yeah. But the way it's exponentially growing, it's like undeniable. So our digital world that we're cultivating, what's the correlation? Yeah. What's the correlation?
Yeah, that's really, I think, probably how a lot of your investments should go. You know what I mean? So for those who don't know, most of these cryptocurrencies actually are some form of technology. They have something they do. You know what I'm saying? And if you're invested in what they call the SHIT coins that don't do nothing.
So many of them too, man.
Yeah. Don't do that, man. I had that as a last run. I had that as a scheme. You know what I'm saying? Everything was going up. So I just had a couple of them, you know what I'm saying? And wait for them to run up. You know what I mean? And some of them did, and some of them didn't get the chance because the game got killed off. But I wouldn't suggest that as a theory now. I think you really need to look into what each cryptocurrency does, who are the people that's behind it, who and what they're doing.
Big use case,
check the use case and see if you see there's any potential for longevity with what they're doing. You know what I mean? And then invest in those because those are going to be the ones that last. Because there very well could be a lot of them to get killed off. You know what I'm saying?
It has to happen. It's way too many crap coins. We'll say that. Too many crap coins crap out coins, there.
Good way to put it,
They have to die off. There's no way that all of these coins are going to stay in existence. As people are investing, they get their run and it tops out and it does nothing else. And then it goes and bottoms out and never comes back to life. And people just pull their money out. Nobody's ever going to reinvest into it. So it's like paying attention to that. Catch a couple quick pops. By all means, catch a couple big pops. But you better run from those and then reinvest into something that's going to be a mainstay.
Yeah. The mainstays is the one you want to really hold long term. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that like your Bitcoins and your Ethereums, of course, you know, those are long-term plays. And if you want the diamond hand nose, I'm fine. I think that's safe, diamond hand. You know what I'm saying? But beyond that,
Bitcoin,
man, really
I'm not touching my Bitcoin for nothing. Like, it's if you would have asked me back in 2017, would Bitcoin be worth 70K? Are you out of your mind? You are out of your mind. I would have never thought it. So, sit back another 10 years, could Bitcoin be worth $1 million? So with the fraction of Bitcoin I have, I'm going to sit back until they hit $1 million.
There's a split on Bitcoin coming also, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that Bitcoin halving. Yep.
Yeah, they're going to have it. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and we'll see the effects of all of that, you know, but it
that's
could
supposed to be
very
in like
well
less
beneficial.
Than a month, like 3 weeks. It might be like 3 weeks. So I think that's supposed to be going down. So if you're paying attention, and you have not gotten into it, this might be the time. But hey, for somebody who's been in the game for 7 years now with this whole Bitcoin thing, we're gonna see where it go. Everything else, I'm flipping and trading and trying to secure these profits as best as I can. So hey, hold it down. POP, hold it down.
Man. Most definitely, most definitely. Shoot, brother, you wanna get into these reviews, man?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm more than ready. So I'm going to go first, man. Hey, look. So, Cohiba Makassar. You've been a nice ride. So, here's where I'm at. Still in the first third, just on the cusp of that second third. And I will say the characteristics that it started out with, that smokiness, kind of gives me that that realm of, like I said, like that a mesquite, a smoky type of vibe. It's staying with that going into the second third. I'm curious to see if it's going to smooth out, give me anything sweet, which I actually do like. I like that huddle, that subtle hint of sweet that kind of kicks in with a lot of these cigars, especially Placencia. Hate the name Placencia when I'm smoking this Cohiba now. But I like it. I like it. Hasn't given me any of that just yet. Just good, solid tobacco, not strong tobacco flavors. That oakiness that you spoke about, a lot of mesquite, a lot of smokiness. Kind of reminds me of a Kentucky Cure Fire cigar that I've had before, or that Man of War mm-hmm. that I explained to you. I'm just staying in that realm, but just done better than those. So still, this is Cohiba, higher price point, done a lot better than that Kentucky Cure Fire type of stick, that Man of War stick, that kind of gives you that smokiness. It's just done better. It's done better. Yeah. And I think that's where Cohiba shines. It just takes whatever you do, usually for most cigar characteristics, and it's just going to just do it better. It's just going to do it smoother. It's just going to do it more premium. And yeah. That's where I got with this. It's just a more premium version of those types of cigars. Is it my favorite? No, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite. It's not the flavor that I tend to gravitate towards. But it is something that I like. I like. It's a good change from time to time. Like I said, just smokiness. Not nothing. No really coffee tastes. No real like coffee bean or nuttiness. You know, that almond, pecan, walnut, anything like that. I'm not getting any of those off of this particular stick.
Yeah,
it's mainly that smoky flavor. Mainly that smoky flavor. That's the peak of the flavors I'm getting off of this. But it's cool. It's cool. So what I say is anything that's going to say, all right, man, you taking over Placencia? Mm-mm. Nope. Not even at the $45 yeah. price point. But is it something I can say, I like it. I like what you're doing. Cohiba, I like what you hit, and I like what you did with it. So with that said, my rating for this stick. Cohiba, come on, let's go.
Okay.
Kind of hurt me to say it. Because at 45, I want you in the fours, man. I want you in the fours. And maybe this is a cigar I have to smoke more and be more acquired to this taste and clamor for this particular taste to really put it in the fours. But I'm just not there yet to where that's something I clamor for. So that's the reason I give it a 3.8. Not because of the quality, not because it didn't do well what it's doing, but it's mm-hmm. just because it's just not what I clamor for that I give it a 3.8.
Mainly preference. You enjoyed the red dot better?
I enjoyed the red dot better. I enjoyed the blue dot and the black better than this one. But I have to say, for what it's doing, is it doing it very well? Yes. Yes. So I'm going to give Cohiba that credit. So Cohiba, don't get me wrong. I like what you're doing with this particular cigar, with these particular flavors, but it's just not my preference.
Right. Okay.
3.8.
And that's the Cohiba Macara, is what you said?
Macassar. Macassar. Macassar.
Macassar. Okay, cool. Hey, man, for me, I got this Weller by Cohiba. I feel like we had a very similar experience with our cigar, but preference will be the difference in the score mainly. But for me, I think this construction on this cigar, great. One match, all it took. Look how perfect that burn is right there. Perfect line on that burn.
That line
the entire time.
That's a clean line.
Clean. Clean is my man Shake from Whataburger line right here, man. You know what I'm saying? Perfection on this line. So the construction was great on this Weller. Weller by Cohiba. The notes that I picked up on, like you mentioned, that smokiness, a lot of smokiness on it. Felt like I was at the cookout. You know what I mean? It's got that oak from being in the barrel, you can pick up on the oak and the aroma and the smoke that's in the air. So that was filling the room and it smelled great. Actual stick itself smelled good. I would say woodiness, you know, but that comes with the oak. I'd say there was a lot of earthy notes on this particular stick. Even a little bit of bourbon, you know, you could kind of feel that bourbon come through a little bit on it. A subtle pepper, you know what I'm saying? Some subtle pepper on it. And, you know, I would say that's the majority of what I experienced, which is my only downside to it. A little bit of a lack of complexity. But the things that it did it great. Didn't change. As you see, I got to this point in the stick and didn't really get any change. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty much the same. I was willing to jump out on a ledge there and almost felt like giving it a 4.4. That's how much I enjoyed what it was doing. But it didn't change what it did. You know what I'm saying? And it kind of stayed the same. And for that reason, I'll go with a 4.2 is because I needed some change. But I personally really enjoyed what it did. I did enjoy the smokiness. I enjoyed the bourbon. I enjoyed it, that oak aroma in the air. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that little bit of pepper that gave me a little twang of spice on it. You know what I mean? Like, I would have liked to have a little something else, whether it would have been a little nuttiness, a little coffee, something, a little bit of sweetness to come through at some point in time. You know, anything just to give me just a little bit of a change blended with those things. But blended what it did do, great. So 4.2 for me on the Weller by Cohiba.
Nice. Okay. We got another Cohiba in the fours. Low fours, but
yeah,
Cohiba, man, we still chase it. We trying to get Cohiba. We trying to give it a shot. Okay, before we close out, I'm just a little disappointed because of what you said last time when we did the matchup. This is I want to see. I was hoping that this Cohiba was gonna just at least match what we love. At least match it. And that's my disappointment. Not that this is a great cigar, but I'm so mad it just matches that pinnacle. I want to see the pinnacle, Cohiba.
Yeah. Hey, man. That cigar is still out there somewhere. We're going to find it. Or either there's somebody over in Nicaragua right now formulating it, right now trying to figure it out. Or maybe they're in Cuba and we can't get their tobacco. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, We'll see. But y'all, we appreciate y'all for tuning in to the Hinds Ward episode number 86.
Yeah, still current. Yeah. Let's go.
That's right. Hey, y'all keep them sticks up high, man. We out.